Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, all the Spirit Rock staff and the volunteers here for helping this event happen. Thank you all for coming out on this beautiful spring day between storms and to explore this theme of ADHD. This is the first time I think this theme has been talked about, or maybe taught here formally. So I'm very happy to be sharing some reflections about it, and hopefully providing some support and perspective about this very human condition. So it's going to be an experiential day. It's going to be a lot of reflection and inquiry and discussion. I am by no means an expert in ADHD. I am a Dharma teacher. I am a long-term meditator. I've also been a therapist and a coach. And I have suffered a lot with ADHD, past and present. And I'll say more about that later. So I'm just curious about who's here. We'll talk about why you're here later. But I'm just curious, and you don't need to self-identify if it's not comfortable. So you don't need to raise your hand, even if you are a yes to this question, but it helps me get a little read of the room. How many people here either have been diagnosed with or think they have ADHD? Okay, look around. Look around. Okay. That's a lot of people. That's most of the room, right? So one of the painful things about this condition, unless you know other people who have this or grew up with them like I did, 4 out of my 5 immediate family have ADHD, and many others in the nephews and nieces, you can feel like you're the only one, and you're the only one with some kind of faulty functioning. How many people here are therapists or work clinically in some way? And raise your hand if you work clinically with those populations with ADHD. Yeah, most of you, because it's very common. And how many of you are here for yourself, to learn about this for yourself? Just raise your hand. And how many people are you here to learn for others? Maybe some of you have partners, parents, children, clients, or people you care about. Okay, so it's a kind of a mix. So I want to say a little about why I'm sharing this. So this is super vulnerable for me to teach this day. Super vulnerable. And it was really hard to prepare for, because I live with this condition. And it's really painful and difficult and disruptive of functioning and complicating and challenging for people around me, my team, my family. And usually when teachers teach, there's kind of a sort of unspoken sort of ethos that one teaches when one has fully integrated the material that you're teaching. Right? It's kind of a setup, really. Because when do you fully integrate anything? But, you know, for the most part we do, and the most part I do when I'm teaching. You know. But I feel I'm living in the midst of this condition. I haven't mastered ADHD. I don't think anybody does. You live with it. Right? And so I was wondering if this would happen. So what I'm feeling is why I'm teaching. Because it's suffering. Right? There's a lot of suffering in this condition. It may not be for everybody here. You know, may not bother you as much as it bothers me. But it's suffering, right? And these Buddhist teachings are about suffering and the end of suffering. Right? But my intention for this day is, well, there's a lot of different things, but the basic intention of this day is acknowledging the suffering of this condition and meeting it as we do with any suffering in life, in ourselves or others of the world, with as much presence, kindness, wisdom, and compassion. That's the intention of this day. How do we meet this complex life condition that's disruptive, that's a disorder? I looked up the definition of disorder because it's used a lot. And where did I find that definition of disorder? Somewhere in my notes is a definition of disorder. A condition that disrupts physical and mental functions. You know, when you hear ADHD, right, attention hyperactive deficit disorder, disorder is a very stigmatizing, pathologizing word. But when I read what it means, that it's something that disrupts mental and physical function, that feels less pathological to me. It just disrupts your functioning, right? So, case in point, a few days ago, I was like, okay, I better start preparing for my day long. Usually I'm a last minute preparer, but I actually started at least 2 days before the day long, which is pretty impressive for me. Because as you know, with this condition, if you don't have a deadline, you don't have adrenaline, it's hard to get motivated, right? I'm a very last minute preparer, like many of us are, right? Just how it is. But I was like, okay, no, you've got a lot to prepare. You want to, you know, so I gave myself 2 days, which is a lot for me, like a massive amount. And I've done some notes and I had some put things together already before. And guess what? I couldn't find the file. Guess what? I couldn't find the folder. And I looked freaking everywhere. And I'm like, WTF, here we are. Of course I can't find the folder. It's the nature of the condition. Where the hell did I file it? Anybody lose files on their computer? Like daily? Like some of us anyway. You know, it's kind of hilarious, except it's annoying. Painful. So it's, how do we meet this? How do we live with this, right? It's part of our nature, right? You might, you know, what I hear from, and I consulted with some friends who are ADHD experts, and, you know, there's many children, adolescents, young adults who get diagnosed, take medication, get good treatment, and can kind of grow grow out of some of the sort of impairing features of ADHD. But I was probably like many of you. I wasn't diagnosed for, you know, until, I don't know, my 30s or 40s or something. So it's something I live with, you know, something I learned to manage, like anything with this condition, at least I'm going to talk from my experience. I'm not going to talk about the authority on ADHD, but my experience is I didn't take it that seriously. You know, someone told me that, showed me the list, like, oh, that sounds like me. Oh, well, good, get on with life. Someone tested me, and I took the test, and she's like, oh, you're in the 99th percentile for ADHD. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm a mindfulness teacher. I was really paying attention. Let's redo the test. I redid the test. I came out worse. I'm like, WTF. Like, you know, and I read up what's good for ADHD? Mindfulness. Okay, well, I guess my mindfulness practice isn't up to snuff. You know? It's kind of embarrassing to admit as a mindfulness teacher. really embarrassing, hard, you know. And then at some point, reached out to Kaiser, thought, well, I should try medication, took a couple of things, really didn't agree with me, didn't take it that seriously, didn't follow up, let it go. 6 years later, I'm in England. I wonder whether I should teach this ADHD, because I wasn't sure how in the material I would be, but I'm going to do my best here. So I read this book called Your Brain's Not Broken. Anybody read that book? It's an English book. Came out in England. And it's about the emotional challenge and reactivity with ADHD, to summarize. Like the emotional difficulty. Not the attention, not the task focus, not the all the things that are commonly attributed, but the emotional struggle. This. And it really hit me. Like, oh yeah, I suffer a lot with this. Like daily, just the emotional judgment, shame, feeling stupid, feeling hopeless, feeling like, why can't I function effectively? You know, I'm an intelligent, you know, high-functioning person, and yet I trip myself up hourly, you know, certainly daily, but at least certainly hourly, I think. And I began to feel the immensity of the pain that's quite pervasive, actually. You know, and I've done a lot of work on myself, like a lot of work, 40 years of Dharma practice, a lot of work as a psychologist and Diamond Approach work, like really done a lot of work. And yet, this is still painful. And so I thought, okay, take this freaking seriously. Get some help. It's hard to admit that. So I called Kaiser, met a psychologist who I liked, and we started working together and started taking medication, and it really helped. Really helped. Doesn't help everybody, but it really helped. And I took it for a few months, and it was life-changing, actually. I felt like my brain fog cleared, my clarity came back, my presence came back. I had more access to meditative presence through this medication, which was kind of surprising, given it's an amphetamine. You know. And then after a few months, I could feel the deeper layers of ADHD that weren't affected by the medication. Like the way I would still trip myself up. Not the sort of moment to moment. Like I felt clearer. I felt more focused. I could sit down and spend all morning on tasks I didn't want to do, and I wouldn't get distracted. And I could do it. And I mostly wouldn't, you know, I can do that much more effectively. I can sit down and go, okay, I got a morning of taxes. Hate doing this. And I can just sort of settle into it, and it's mostly, I can do that, you know. Or, you know, sit down for 4 hours and work on some of this talk stuff. But I started to see these deeper layers of ADHD, like very common example for me, maybe I'm giving a presentation in the evening, coming to Spirit Rock, doing a Dharma Monday night talk or something. And I clear the whole day so I can kind of just get myself prepared for that talk. And then somehow I get busy with a whole bunch of other stuff till 5 o'clock. And I go, shit, I haven't prepared for this presentation, this talk. How did that happen? Like it's like in plain sight, it happens. I forget to do the most important thing. And like it's like bewildering to me. And so just some of these deeper layers, you know, and so the medication's helpful, and I'm on it, and I appreciate it. And yet, there's still a disruption in the functioning that is systemic, you could say, that we have to live with and work with. So, And then it impacts us, it impacts our life, it impacts people we're around, you know, our poor partners. Well, I should speak for myself, my poor partner, who has to, you know, who's very the opposite of someone with ADHD, so opposite me, you know, has no problem, you know, engaging, following through, completing tasks, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and so we learn, right? So I took a hike yesterday, and my task at the end of the hike was go pick up some flowers because we were going for dinner with friends. And I said to her, text me in 45 minutes, remind me to pick up the flowers, which she did. And then she texted me a half an hour later with an emoji of flowers, and I remembered. But I could have quite easily gotten home and go, oh, shit. So my intentions for the day, as I've said, ADHD is a very human condition. Causes a lot of distress, mental, emotional, life. It's humbling, and we want to learn how to meet it with kindness, with love, with care, with acceptance, with forgiveness, with humor, right? We've got to laugh. It is funny when it's funny, and it's painful when it's painful, but it's also funny, the things we do. It's a perfect setup for the critic. Anybody got a critic here? That is a silly question. If you have ADHD, you have an inner critic. And it follows you around, and you go, look, there you go, you messed up again. And you messed up again. And you didn't follow through. And you forgot something. And you double booked. And, right? It's a setup. It's like they go together. I teach a lot about the inner critic. I have a book in the library, in the bookstore called Make Peace With Your Mind. If you haven't looked to your inner critic, please do. Please work at it. Read about it. Read my book. Listen to talks I've given on Dharma Seed. There's plenty of other good stuff out there on the inner critic. It doesn't have to be my stuff, but please give it attention, and we'll talk a little about it today. Realize we're not alone. We've already looked at that. There's a lot of us here in the room. And then also realize it's workable. You know, whatever condition we have, it's workable. And we can learn ways to meet it that make it more workable. This isn't a day where I'm going to give you a lot of tools and techniques about how to manage ADHD and how to be more efficient and all of that stuff, right? There's a lot of books out there about that. You probably got a lot of them on your, you know, your nightstand, and they end up in your trash and you don't follow them. I actually got my Christmas present. I should have brought it. It's a great book. It's called something like, I don't know what it is. But it's written by someone with ADHD about task management. But it's beautiful, like the first page, she says, like, something like, she says something like, you know, your value, your innate value is not based on what you do. Your innate value is not based on the task that you complete. Right? She says, you may never pick this book up again. You might pick it up in 6 months. You might lose it and find it again, right? And it's like, so it's written with us in mind, right? And so this day isn't about, you know, the 10 tools and tips and techniques of how you can, you know, work with it. I mean, manage your life. There's other good stuff about that. This is really about how we're meeting the human condition and the pain of this condition. And then hopefully realizing that the ADHD also has its gifts. You know, we're divergent thinkers, right? It gives us unique capacities, right? My work in nature, my last 20, 25 years, and very much now all of my work is, or 90% of my work is devoted to nature meditation practice, taking this mindfulness practice outdoors, which being outdoors, I think by nature, is a divergent way of being, right? And so people with ADHD certainly my experience, and I haven't done a study, but I am going to do some research on it, is being outside meditating is a much better fit because we have a broader, we have an associative quality of attention, right? A broad attention. And we take in a lot of different stimuli, which can be crazy-making if you're trying to focus, but if you're being outside, being present to nature where the stimuli in 360 degrees, you're right there. Right? It's just easy to be present because there's so much pinging you from all directions, and you can handle it because you have that broad scope of attention. Part of the condition, I think. So there's a schedule today. I wrote about the schedule. The schedule will not be followed. We'll probably start late. Yes. We'll probably end late. Probably. We'll lose our way in the middle. Probably. We won't follow instructions clearly. Definitely. We'll get bored. We'll multitask. We'll get restless. Probably. And at the end, we'll forget mostly what was discussed. But here we are. You know, we do our best, right? In the middle of it. So, but the schedule is a combination of I'll give short talks, there'll be short reflections, short practices, and repeat. There's this cartoon. I was going to do some slides, didn't get around to it. that happens. You'd just be distracted anyway. So, there's a cartoon. Some of you might be able to see it. There's two little figures. And one of the figures got this massive fire rainbow storm coming out of their head. And one person says, "What the hell is that?" And the person with the thing's like, "Oh, it's just my mind. It's just my mind." I think that's written by someone with ADHD. It's just our mind. Just, you know, got a lot of brilliance, creativity, wondering stuff. And another cartoon. I'm sure my computer thinks this. So there's a man sitting, looking at his computer, typing, and there's a thought bubble coming out of the computer. And also there's a thought bubble coming out of the person, and they're both thinking to each about the other. Can't you do anything right? Because I blame my computer. You know, where did you lose that file? Come on, Apple. Like, what? Come on. So, anyhow. Okay, so part of this day, we're going to be doing some discussions in small groups. If this is a Zoom call and we put you into breakout groups, half of you would disappear, right? It's just what happened. Or you just drop off the whole day long, like, screw that. But since we're in the room, there's a little more encouragement, invitation, maybe peer pressure, maybe desire to actually connect and reflect with each other. Because we're all in the same boat, right? We all have different variations of this theme, and maybe there's some of you who don't have ADHD, but you want to learn, or you're not sure, or your family does, or whatever. Either way. And even if you haven't been diagnosed, which, you know, these are also the traits that we have as in ADHD. They're just human. They're just human, you know, traits. They may be more crystallized, centralized in someone with ADHD mind, but they're also human. You know, when I read the list, and I'll read the list in a minute about, you know, common symptoms. You know, most people, especially today, when we live this very fast-paced, very complex, mostly screen-oriented life, most people feel some aspects of attention deficit, you know, because it's just, we're putting our brains into slightly intolerable, unsustainable ways of functioning in the sort of techno speedy life that we're in. Okay, so we're going to get into groups of three. And it's just a way of introducing yourself. Who are you? Where you're from? And then to just share, why are you here? Why are you here? Are you here to learn? Are you here because you're suffering a lot with your own ADHD? You're curious about it, about learning from others. You want to understand, well, how does my Buddhist practice, my mindfulness practice, my meditation practice, how does that help, support? What's the role of compassion? You might be here for many, many reasons, and hopefully we'll touch on all of those. But just to share a little, why are you here? So we'll do that in groups of three. We'll take 2 minutes each. So once we get into groups of three, I'll give you 2 minutes for the first person. I'll ring a bell, and the second person will go. I'll ring a bell, third person will go. And then a couple of minutes discussion. And once we get into groups of three, I'll go over those instructions because probably some of you didn't even pay attention to what I just said. So because you're feeling anxious about the idea of meeting strangers and having to talk about yourself, which is totally normal. Right? Whatever happens today is totally normal. Right? And it's okay that it happens. I have a really hard time following instructions. When I'm in your seat and I get the instruction about what to do in this exercise, when I get to the exercise, I normally ask someone, "What are we doing exactly?" Like I either don't understand, or I habitually check out when I'm getting instructions, even though I try to strain myself, like, "Mark, pay attention. You need to know these instructions because you're gonna have to execute on these instructions." And I'm like, "Oh, there's turkeys outside. Wow, cool. Okay, what are we doing?" So whenever we get into these, whenever I give instructions, particularly around these exercises, getting into groups of three usually, you're also more than welcome not to do it. If you don't feel comfortable being in a group of three, for whatever reason, you want to be quiet, you just don't feel like it, you're a therapist and you're sick of talking to people all day, which happens, it's fine, but I really want to encourage you to do it if you can, because you will get more out of it, yeah, by talking, sharing, and listening, and you know, respect yourself. And if for whatever reason this exercise or the next one is like, "No, I just want to be quiet," please do that, and just sit quietly, you know. Or you can do this journaling also. It's another way to do the exercise. Yeah. Okay, so get into groups of three. You might have to turn around. I'll just make sure you're into group of three before we start the exercise. And look around or raise your hand if you need a group of three. No groups of four, groups of three. No groups of four. Raise your hand. So if we can come into silence. Once you're in a group of three, please come into silence. Okay, can I get your attention, please? Anybody else? There's a person here with a hand. One, two. Anybody else need a partner? So one, two. Everybody else have a group of three? Good. Okay, if I just have your attention. Okay, so if one of the group can raise your hand. One of the group, raise your hand. Okay, so the person to your left is going to be the person who starts. And just 2 minutes, why are you here? What draws you to this day about ADHD? 2 minutes, and I'll ring a bell after 2 minutes. Please start. Other people, just listen. Mm-hmm. So now next person, 2 minutes, why you're here, what brings you to look at ADHD? Now, last person sharing, 2 minutes, what brings you to this day long? So bringing your conversation to a close and coming back to your seats. Bring your conversation to a close. Yeah, lots to talk about. So bringing your conversations to a close, coming back to your seats. This is a rowdy group. All right, that works. I know you don't follow instructions, but when you hear the bell, that means... Okay, so it's a big group, so I'm going to just make this popcorn harvest quick. Just shout out in one word or maybe two max, maybe three max, what brings you here? Maybe a sentence max. Just shout it out. Procrastination. You made it, though. Shame. Burnout. Acceptance.
Community.
Was that? Seeking community around this issue.
Yeah.
Find out more about it.
I need help.
You need help.
Family
issues.
Divorce.
Divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety. Self-awareness.
Recognition
that others share it. Yeah.
Self-compassion,
suffering,
breathing,
grieving,
peace,
confusion,
integrating the critic,
yeah,
isolation,
yeah,
fairness.
Pardon? Fairness to your wife. Beautiful. Yeah, no, it's real. Yeah. Yeah. What was there, something else I missed? Another comment here, I just... Self-sabotage? Mm-hmm. What was that over here? I had something over here. Missed it? No.
Hope.
Yeah, hope. Yeah. Pardon? Boundaries. Mm-hmm.
Overwhelm.
Yeah. Anybody else feel overwhelm? Yeah. Anybody else feel shame? Yeah, very common. Very common. Confusion. Yeah. Some very kind of ubiquitous qualities that move through this landscape, and you know, the difficult emotions, you know.
Spreading
the knowledge about the condition to those who don't know. Yeah.
Right.
Tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exhausted. Yeah. Exhausted with yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking phones. Yeah, fucking phones. Sorry, what did you say? What was that?
Exhausting
to people around us. Yes, it's fatiguing. Yeah, yeah. Pardon?
Survival,
yeah.
Anger,
yeah.
Work
issues, right? Anybody have challenges at work with this issue, with this?
Yeah.
Some, yeah. Irritation and anxiety, right. It just stirs up anxiety. Low-grade anxiety. What have I forget? What am I not doing? What's not being managed? Anybody have anxiety around this condition? Yeah. What else?
Self-esteem
issues, right. Unworthiness. Anybody feel unworthy or stupid at times because you can't complete a simple task or a simple request or a simple follow-through? Yeah. One of the things I least like about phones, I mean, they're amazing and on all kinds of levels, is texts, because I can't track. Like I said to email everybody, send me an email, I can flag it. If I flag it, I won't lose it. Text, there's no flag. For me, there's no flagging system, and so it gets lost. The amount of people say, how come you never responded to me? It's like, well, yeah. Pardon? You flag everything. Well, that's right. Yeah. I got a lot of flags. There's a lot of shit waving at me all the time. Like, dude, me. No, no, no. Yeah. Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Right. Out of sight, out of mind. In with people, for sure. For sure. I'm embarrassed to say, I use Apple Notes, and I have like 1,500 notes, unfortunately. I do. Should delete some of the old ones. And one of them is friends. Because I sometimes forget about a good friend. And it's not because I don't love them and care about them. It's just there's a way that somehow I don't hold things in my mind. And it's embarrassing. Because it's like, oh, I haven't called so-and-so for 3 months. How could I forget them? You know? And it's just human. But, you know, we have, you know. So it's, I appreciate hearing these things because, like, oh, right. First I ask you to look around who's in the room. We're all in the room together. And then we're hearing, oh, right, shame, confusion, anger, irritation, self-worth, right? Anything else that's here? Just
and a recognition that this is my gift.
A recognition. And there's a gift, right. And we'll get to that later, yeah. Yeah, there's some positives that, yeah.
Manic
genius followed by depression, yeah, yeah. Yes. Guilt, yes, guilt. Lots of guilt. Anybody feel guilty for all the things that they haven't done? Yes.
A recognition of high functioning and having this.
Yes, a recognition, the paradox of having high functioning and having this condition, which can be seen paradoxical. Yeah.
Re-enchantment.
Uh-huh. Re-enchantment. Yeah, nice. Unable to, right, articulate what's in your mind coherently. Mm-hmm. Yes. The amount of stress it takes to make that paradox work of being high functioning and being having one's functioning interrupted. There's a from my friend. I'll quote from him later. But he said there's something about where is it? Yeah, this is about in task management. Plans to manage ADHD are undermined by having ADHD, right? Yeah, you know, the very, you know, you're high functioning and yet the ADHD, you're lacking some of the actual things you need to manage the ADHD. That's stressful. It's inherently stressful. Was there another hand? Yes, please. Yes, generational ancestral healing, yeah. My family is I have a long lineage of ADHD, unrecognized. Yeah.
Emotional fragility
and turmoil. Yes. Yeah. We'll definitely get to the emotional dimension later. Yeah. Is that hand over there.
Medication
and self-medication. Right. A lot of self-medication. My understanding of. The low dopamine impact on ADHD and brain fog and how we self-medicate to bump up the dopamine. Right. Caffeine. Excuse me one second, I'm just going to... Yes. Mind issues. Money issues, yes, because it interrupts functioning and money requires functioning. Yeah, yeah, and managing money. Yeah, managing money, yeah. Yes, the impact on our close relationships, yeah, is impactful, yeah.
Fear of addiction.
Fear of addiction, mm-hmm, yeah, has addiction.
Yeah. Having ADHD and then dealing with my son who also has it, being able to.
Yeah, yeah. Feel that. Having, as a father and as a mother with ADHD and seeing in your kids... And not having the wherewithal because you're also afflicted by the condition, right? And you've got things to share because you've learned, and yet, if there was a couple other hands, yes. Yeah, anxiety meeting deadlines and then the health impacts of that. Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So forgiveness and compassion for the condition we were raised in, which was also coming out of ADHD and probably contributed to our own. Yeah. Yeah, please.
Anxiety that can come with trying to
Yeah, hypervigilance, trying to manage your condition so other people don't see it, notice it. Yeah.
Masking to exhaustion,
yeah.
Redundant behaviors,
right. So, breaking patterns. Right, and finding other motivations that are basing anxiety. Yeah. Okay, last one. This. Yeah.
Feeling like a weirdo.
Right, right. We're all weirdos. We're all weirdos. You know, we're all divergent in some form or other. Right? But the stigma around it. Right? And you can be, you know, ridiculed for it. So that's a lot. Just hearing that, I feel like, let's take a breath. Let's take a breath. Take another breath, another couple of breaths. So there's kind of an echo chamber here, right? We're a sangha, we're a community, and people are expressing and reflecting different facets of our own experience. Right? Some of those we might have a lot of, some we might have, you know, echoes of, some we're very steeped in. Some we may have resolved, some might be we're just starting to deal with, right? Different layers of this condition. So let's just sit quietly for a few minutes, and then we'll take a break. So, bathroom break. And take a few more deeper breaths, and really, if you can, invite a quality of relaxation in the exhale. Really just let your body soften, jaw soften, facial muscles soften, you roll your shoulders back a little, soften your belly. And just being present to what's here. Not trying to focus, just noticing what's here. Maybe you notice the impact of all those sharings. Maybe there's some tenderness or some, you know, feelings in the heart. Maybe just naming, oh, what's present as I'm hearing all those things, sharing things, what am I feeling? If your heart's tender, maybe putting a hand on your heart, just, oh, what's here? And see if you can silently name it to yourself. Oh, sad, vulnerable, numb, compassion, caring, whatever. And I'm actually going to invite you all to put your hand on your heart as a gesture of that this hand is expressing to your heart, like, I'm here. I'm here for myself. Like, I'm going to tend to what's here, whatever it is. I'll do my best to be here with what's here. Best to meet myself with kind attention. And if the hand there in the heart is comforting, keep it there. If not, you can lower it. You might want to keep feeling your heart, your chest, feeling the breath moving through your chest, through your heart. And also including sensing your body sitting. And whatever you're feeling in your body, you might be feeling stirred up, you might be feeling restless. You might notice some anxiety in the belly, you might notice calm, agitation. Again, whatever's here in the body, oh right, my body in this moment's feeling fidgety. Okay, fidgety. Oh, it's feeling tired. Oh, it's feeling relaxed. Okay. Peaceful. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. Just be mindful of what it is. My heart, my emotion feels like this. My body feels like this. My breath is like this. Maybe my breath is short, tense. Maybe my breath is long and relaxed. And then, of course, noticing your mind. Is the mind busy now with thoughts? With, oh, what did I say? Should I have said this? Maybe there's self-judgment. Maybe there's planning. Maybe it's quiet. Maybe it's confused. Oh, being confused is like this. Judgment is like this. So we're inviting a quality of acceptance today, allowing today, welcoming what's here. I'm going to close with a poem from Julia Fehrenbacher called The Most Important Thing. Just listen to the words. Just let them kind of blow through. I'm making a home inside myself, a shelter of kindness where everything is forgiven, everything is allowed. A quiet patch of sunlight to stretch without hurry, where all that's been banished, buried, is welcomed, spoken, listened to, and released. A fiercely friendly place I can claim as my very own. I am throwing arms open to the whole of myself, especially the fearful, fault-finding, falling apart, unfinished parts. Knowing that every part has made the soil richer. I will light a candle, gather around the warmth of my own fire. The flame will burn through any perceived problem, any prescribed perfectionism, any lying limitation. I am making a home inside myself. A shelter of kindness that grows all the truest things. Okay, friends, so we have arrived together. So we'll take a 10-minute break. I'm going to suggest that we stay pretty quiet, not silent, because you might want to say something to somebody, but kind of quiet. There's a lot of tenderness in the room. We've shared a lot already. So just, you know, like staying with yourself a little bit. Yeah. But if you need to pee, need to get tea, need to step outside, need to say hello to the peacock hen there, take in the beautiful green hills. Just do that. But we'll keep it short, so 10 minutes. We'll be back at 10:45. So you'll probably hear a bell at 10:40 to start bringing you back. Yeah? And if you don't need to go anywhere, you feel free to just to keep quiet, meditating, journaling. There's also bathrooms upstairs. So if there's a long line, especially the women's bathroom, there's two bathrooms upstairs.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.